Good evening. Welcome to Ask Catherine. This is Catherine Austin Fitz. Today is Thursday, the 23rd. I'm recording today for publication today. Questions as of June 20th. We have questions on Monday. There's no Ask Catherine next week, so we will have all questions coming in after this Monday. We'll go to the following Thursday. So let's start in by categories. And again, thank you for your questions. Cash and precious metals. Hi, Catherine. I'm planning to buy some silver. What is your recommendation, the best product to buy? Thank you for your wisdom and dedication to a more livable world. So I put links in the notes to the best of the Solera report. There's a great audio seminar. It's old, but still timely, on how to buy gold and silver. I also put a link to the silver equivalence table at the gold and silver calculator. So if I was buying silver today, I would buy, if I was in the United States, I'd buy 90% silver, which is pre-1965 dimes, nickels, and quarters. And then if I was buying in addition to 90%, I'd buy a 1 ounce sovereign gold, silver coin. I'd buy the sovereign silver coin, the 1 ounce that had the lowest premium to melt value. So I always like to buy 1 ounce. And I usually, given the market, I usually end up with Cougarans. So the last two times I bought silver, I bought either Cougarans, or we make silver coins at Solera that we give away for promotions. So, and we don't sell them because we can't be competitive with a coin that's out in the secondary market that a dealer's selling. Our cost is just too high. So we give them away as part of promotions. Anyway, but the last two times I've bought silver, the lowest premium to melt was Cougarans, and that one I bought. The one thing I would remind you is if anybody tries to sell you a numismatic coin, hang up and never talk to them again. Hi, Catherine. Have followed your work for some time and think it's time to make some changes, probably past time. Do you have any recommendations for a money management firm that is congruent with your approach? They do exist, and I've had some financial advisors on the Solera report. They may be able to recommend some to you. I don't make investment recommendations on the Solera report, and recommending a money management firm would do that. But both at the SEC website and state, you can get lists of what the investment advisors and money management around you are, and you can go talk to them and interview them. And it's a great learning experience. I've seen people who say they know nothing about money go through the process and do a very good job of finding people. Hi, Catherine. My partner's been hired for a computer engineering position in Tennessee near Murfreesboro, and you wanted some advice on realtors and banks. I found some advice on realtors, and I've emailed to you and put it here in the show notes. I'm looking for a bank, so stay tuned. Dear Catherine, I'm in my early 60s. Oh, and I think you're going to love, if you're in California, you are going to love, love, love moving to Tennessee. It's a big change, especially the humidity, but you can breathe a little freer. Dear Catherine, I'm in my early 60s, living on tiny disability, need your suggestions, would love to speak by phone. I would love to speak by phone, but I can't. If you look at the requests for my time every week, you know, I'm getting requests for 1,000 hours a week, and obviously I don't want to work 1,000 hours a week. I can't. So here's what I would say. If you're on disability, you need to really focus on all the different things you can barter with people. If you have the capacity to, you know, do something for someone else, and your time and services, and trade it for food or other things for you, you really need to get into the mood to barter. I don't know if you can work in an income when you're getting disability, but you can certainly barter. And I would definitely build a whole barter economy. There's a tremendous amount of things you can do. But also keep on learning. So keep on building your skills no matter what's going on. Hello, Catherine. And I'm happy if you want to send detailed questions. I'm happy to answer them. Hello, Catherine. Since for a week, I'm a supporting member of Solera.com. In an interview, you mentioned that Deep Survival is on your list of top 10 best books of all time. Can I have the list? I've never made a list that I can remember of my favorite 10 books. But if you look at the best books for the coming year in each of the last annual wrap-ups, I think we started in 2015. I'm not quite sure, but if you look at, I put in the link for the best books for 2020 that was in the annual wrap-up we published on January, and a lot of my favorites are in there, including the Bible. So the King James Bible, Marcus Aurelius's Meditations, The Devil's Chessboard by David Talbot, Deep Survival, One of the ones that's a favorite, which is not in there, is The Road Less Traveled by Scott Peck, but Scott Peck's other book on evil is in there. Anyway, they're all great, and it sort of depends on what you need and what you're most interested in. But anyway, so check out the wrap-up best books. Hi, Catherine. I was wondering what your thoughts are on insuring precious metals you have at home. I found this company. Okay, so that company provides no disclosure whatsoever about who owns or who governs, and I checked with a precious metals dealer. It's very knowledgeable that he said he never heard of them. So here's what I would never do. I would never insure the precious metals that I have at home. I'd much rather put it in a bank deposit vault than give an insurance company my data, because I've dealt with extreme and criminal fraud from insurance companies. So I think it's giving them a roadmap. The NSA may have that roadmap anyway, but the last thing I would do is give it to the insurance company. So I would much rather have, you know, spend the money on great safes or on moving to a good jurisdiction where a combination of a good sheriff, good safes, and the Second Amendment was what I depended on. So I just think it's not a good investment. Hi, Catherine. I just wanted to share my situation with you. Okay, so this is a very detailed description of somebody who's trying to use cash and the card companies are playing dirty poker on them. And I'm not sure if it's the companies itself or it could be the intelligence agencies using AI and software to do it. Is this absolutely a hit? Yes. Are you being targeted? Absolutely. But what you need to know is everybody in America is. It's not just you. But there's no doubt when I do something that really irritates them, this is what they'll do. They'll play games with credit cards or debit cards. And, you know, the next thing you know, it's taking up a huge amount of my time. There are two ways to push back. The best one is to, you know, find yourself a good bank and get, you know, I wouldn't bank with anybody in the LA area. I'd just get the hell out. And that's the best one. But the other is to make detailed documentation and chronology, and then, you know, post the chronology. Write them a detailed letter saying, and you know, no anger, just matter of fact, this happened, and ask them if they have serious operational problems in their operations with running a card company. You know, express sympathy for their incompetence. After you send them a letter, you can publish it on social media. Now, of course, that'll escalate the war probably, but you know, there are ways of pushing back. This is all designed to make it look like you're paranoid, you know, because that would never happen. They would never do this, but it's a way of hurting people and getting them to understand if you don't do what you're told, all these things are going to happen and you can't complain about it because otherwise people will think you're paranoid. So I would just say, get your money out of LA. If a new bank in Tennessee does not solve the problem, I'm happy to make an introduction to the National Bank of Malvern in Pennsylvania. And if it happens there, I'm personally going to talk with them. So let's get this solved. I suggest if you haven't listened to it, you listen to my interview with Ulrich Groniger, Control and Freedom Happens One Person at a Time, as well as the Deep State Tactics. It's long, but you know, this is the world we live in. And it's dirty poker. They're trying to build a financial transaction control grid. And I talked on Financial Rebellion this week about how in China, they've frozen people's bank deposits and the depositors were going to go to the bank to protest. And they turned all their healthcare codes on their healthcare apps on their phone red. So they couldn't travel. So, hello. It's got nothing to do with health. Anyway, I really appreciate your posting this. Everybody should read it because this is how they play. You got to give them credit. They've built quite a complex control system. And I'm telling you, it's one person at a time. Catherine, thank you for answering my question last week. I would love your insight on this. Let's see. I think we have a clear idea of what the plan is with us citizens as individual units. But what about companies and corporations? So you have an import business, and I won't read the whole thing, but it's very interesting. I believe in following the market. So if your business is good, I continue to follow the market. I would make sure you had plenty of reserves. And I love the idea of keeping reserves in organic, non-perishable foods. I do think when the Soviet Union crashed, the single best currency was vodka. So I wouldn't necessarily dismiss wine. That doesn't mean people will be able to find, buy cases of Aubryon, but there's going to be some liquor that's going to hold its value and be very useful. So, but obviously you want something that can is not expensive to store and is really easy and inexpensive to store. So it depends on your circumstances. So I think you just have to manage things exceptionally conservative and be very careful about not letting the overhead get away with you. Obviously, in a time of inflation, you're going to have to keep upping the cost. Your replacement of your inventory is going to get more and more expensive, so you better be able to handle that. Okay, hi, Catherine. Question about Ed Dowd and his interview on USA. So Dowd is very, very negative on the stock market. He thinks it could drop as much as 60% in the next 6 to 18 months, and that's one feasible scenario. Long term, I'm a bull on the stock market. Any scenario in which we survive this as a human civilization is going to need great companies and liquid financial markets. And now, at the same time, every month, I'll just tell you what I do. I put a small amount of money, and as the market comes down, I'm buying, buying, buying. Now I'm also buying into something that's hedged equity. So it's significantly better performing than the S&P this year because it's running a hedge. I don't underestimate how bad things could get, and given how much money's been bubbled. But I also know there's $5 trillion out there looking for real assets, and the market is full of really great companies. And the only way we're going to get out of this is really great companies keep growing. So, anyway, so I'm a buyer, but I'm pretty picky about the quality of the companies I buy, and I'm just averaging in. But that's me. If you're not comfortable with equities, don't. What I'm not comfortable with is looking at some index fund that's full of crap. That's not what I'm doing. I'm buying great companies and running a hedge on them. So. Oh, somebody wanted to know about, I said I didn't comment on Divide and Conquer, and they wanted to know more about that. I really just don't get into it. I've learned historically that it's not a productive thing, and I'm sorry you don't understand what I mean, but we just have to move on. You did mention one description of holograms. I'd be happy to take a look at that link if you recommend it, because I'm not aware of it, but I appreciate your letting me know about that. You said this during the Missing Money with Kirby. If you optimize government investment and spending and regulation by place, then you can create 100 times the wealth that you have now, but then it's impossible to control. Is there a link that goes into a deeper explanation? I put a link to a Salieri report we did called Unpacking Your Financial Ecosystem, and it has links. If you go into the link collection associated with it, it has lots of old links on things I wrote long ago on place-based development when we were working with the databases at Hamilton. And I also put a link to my online book that gives an overview of what we were up to and how we started to learn things like that. Sometime I'd be happy to do, you ought to listen to Richard Werner's speech from Malmo. If you put Malmo in the search box and you just pull up, we have the full video. He gave a presentation on Sunday morning on, the possibilities of a healthy economy and growth. And he and I are very much in sync that way. We just know that the price of tyranny and crime is enormous. And in theory, if you could end the tyranny and the crime and the central control, the economy could be much, much better. Now, we have a lot of serious problems to deal with because there's been a lot of criminality and theft. That's not easy to clean up. But you can't imagine how expensive tyranny is. It's just unbelievably expensive. Somebody wrote they're having trouble grappling with the concept of human beings as collateral that can be traded on the blockchain. You're wondering if they could be rehypothecated. Well, it's very easy. I put a digital chip in somebody, I give them a serial number or a digital ID, and then I can finance them, say, at a 50% loan to value and use them for income producing things like, having babies or breeding or doing various kinds of work. And they have asset value like slaves, and they can be traded. So if you read the book, put a link to a book review I wrote called The Half Has Never Been Told, talking about the slave trade and why they had problems perfecting the collateral. Now, there's a shortage of collateral in the system given how much debt there is. And of course, if you just turn most humans into slaves and make them collateral, you can recollateralize the a lot of outstanding debt, which has been fraudulently issued. That may be part of this. I'm not 100% certain exactly what they're doing and how they're doing it, but it's pretty easy. You chip somebody, you put an ID, and suddenly they're collateral for some debt or security interest. So I'm not sure why it's not perfectly clear, but if a human being is something that can be bought and sold, and then you can finance it with a loan-to-value ratio, so I turn you into a slave and I sell you for $1,000, the guy who buys you is able to finance half of it. It's like a mortgage on the house. And then the question is, how much income can I get you to generate, and how much can I get versus how much do I have to pay for food, etc., and energy? But it's a slavery system. Anyway, one of the questions is, how much velocity can that collateral have? Because collateral can be rehypothecated. And so if you look at the collateral, I just finished reading a book on collateral, and I'm going to post a book review. If collateral had a sort of a velocity of 3 times or more before the financial crisis, now it's, say, 2 times, maybe a little bit more. So there's a real shortage. Many people argue of collateral in the system, and turning a lot of people into slaves will, you know, could theoretically plug that hole. What do you mean, Catherine, by markup equity? But what I mean is just inflate equity. So if the global economy is carrying too much debt, if you inflate the economy in a way that drives the value of real estate and the value of stocks and the value of ownership or assets owned goes up, they're better able to carry the debt, especially if they can generate an income, which you can also generate through printing more money, unfortunately. A report from San Francisco, the wonderful person who had their truck stolen 2 months ago, and I reported in detail about that. Very interesting comment on the criminality in cities and the refusal of the police to do anything about it. At great length and expense, they got the truck towed to a garage. They found a garage. They fixed up the truck. And sure enough, they went to pick up the truck, but it was stolen from in front of the repair shop. So now it's been stolen twice. So welcome to life in the city. We see we just saw Caterpillar and now Citadel Securities leaving Chicago. A lot of people leaving Chicago, they've had it with the crime. And they write, it was equally appropriate to learn that Congress is moving rapidly on passing gun control. Well, the Supreme Court just basically threw out New York's effort to stop people from carrying. So there's good news on that. And if you want to know why a lot of us voted for Trump, there's one of the reasons. Dear Catherine, I'm building out a property and I'm going to have a well drilled in order to have control over my supply. I thought of putting in a hand pump installed in addition to the electric pump. The driller says it will be expensive, an extra $1,000 on top of $8,000 for well. But my gut tells me it may be valuable in the event of an energy crisis or something similar. Wondering your thoughts. Do it. Just do it. Don't even... You know, $1,000 for that, just do it. I can't tell you in the right scenario. I can't tell you at the moment the electricity goes down how glad you may be that you've got that pump. So I would absolutely do that. If you could please include in your Ask Catherine, I appreciate it. I hope all is well. So this is a announcement from a wonderful subscriber. So I'm just going to read it because I want you to know about it. Just a reminder that we are still praying every Monday morning for 1 minute at 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. The prayer is for those who do not see to see and for those who do see to see more. Everyone just prays wherever they are at that moment. Also, please don't hesitate to increase our people by texting friends outside of Solari. I have several people who I've done that with. The more, the better. I have a recurring alarm set on my phone, so I never forget. Hope you great people are well considering. Okay, so Monday morning, 1 minute from 11 a.m. Eastern to 11:01 Eastern. Anyway, great, great subscriber. Hello from a new subscriber in Atlanta. I admire your work and appreciate your comments on the documentary Dimming. Then a suggestion to interview Naomi Wolf. She's definitely on my list to do. And you're concerned about her, what she's learning about Christianity. That part of her efforts, I know nothing about. I've been reading her work on the Pfizer project, and she just wrote a great piece on gun control. So I appreciate you letting me know that, and I'll check it out. question. We were traveling and realized the Indian reservations all have to be masked up as if first months of COVID. The tour we went on, the guy said if we don't mask up, they lose their license. Makes me wonder if they're trying to take the land from the Navajo license. You bet they are. You bet they are. When I asked the security guard at the grocery store, he said, oh yeah, on the reservation, have to mask up. Then I could tell he was stepping away to keep his distance. Mind you, have to mask up and social distance on the tour and what we are sitting 6 inches apart in the vehicle. They seem to have no awareness. This is not right. Your thoughts? My guess is there's some kind of hit or beat down going on, and they have to play the game, and they know it's dangerous. It's my guess, but I know nothing about it. Hi, Catherine. I know you're an amazing mind when it comes to financial systems and how they work. I recently sent your link to my investment banker who holds my retirement plan, and his only response to what he was posting is some people will post anything to help them gain popular likes and traffic on the internet. How do you respond when people say you are the one spreading false information? For someone like me, even when I try to gather information, the mainstream and the most confirming information seems to continue to hold my focus. But I also keep the alternate information in my pocket to say something somewhere balanced with all of it. I'm honestly in a lost place in this world, and for sure in the financial world. It is really all confusing, and holding my own power to make decisions other than what has been our status quo as well. Too great responsibility, especially if it turns out the decision was incorrect. How would you guide those of us who don't think like you? If I were your son, what would you tell me in the face of immense change in this world? What words could make a difference that are not doing the right job now? Those words that guide with absolute certainty. I respect your work and feel respect for you, and I thank you for doing what you're doing. Many blessings, dear Catherine. Okay, so here's my word, turtle. Just be a turtle. Every week, just learn. Learning about investments is learning 100, 200 terms. What's a bond? What's a stock? Just learn a little bit every week and just keep trying to learn more. And don't overstress yourself. Don't press yourself, but just keep learning. If you keep at it, you know, just spend an hour or two a week. Turn off your TV, spend an hour or two. Just learn the words and learn the concepts and just keep learning. And just be a little turtle and don't worry about, you know, anybody would say what that guy said to you. He's a guy who really doesn't understand the world or is embarrassed because he doesn't understand about it. There are many possible explanations. I just don't know him or know who he is. But the wrap-ups are great. You know, the way to understand investment is first and foremost to understand the primary trends. And all our themes in the wrap-ups are about the primary trends. So just keep learning and don't worry that you don't have it yet. Just keep learning. And, you know, we all have to deal with the unknown here and the fact that the world is moving faster than we can possibly. We have to sleep. We can't learn 24/7. So just because it looks too big, just start taking little bites like a turtle and move forward. And I'm telling you, if you just slowly and steadily every week learn a little bit, it'll start to add up. You just got to dive in and swim around in it. I think if you're going to send something to your investment advisor, you want to send something that's specifically written for investors. So I put in a link that's the kind of thing, if I were you, I would send to my investment advisor. If he can't explain, and it's about what's been happening with the federal credit and what it means to Treasury securities, if he can't explain what that article means to you in your portfolio, I'd start searching for someone else because it means he doesn't understand the environment we're in, and we're in for some pretty big change, and you need somebody who understands. You'd be amazed if you start a search. You know, leave him in place and start a search for somebody who will, among other things, help teach you, that you feel comfortable with and you can trust. And with any investment advisor, you can look at their record and see how they've done. The SEC website or your securities division at your state, if you're in the United States, can identify for you, you know, what all the investment advisors, for example, in Tennessee, there are 222 investment advisors. And you can figure out who's in your area and you can look at their websites and start to learn about them and then pick out some that you want to interview. And I just started interviewing them. It's a great way to learn and see if you can find one who's a good teacher. You deserve to have a banker that you know and like and trust and will help make you smart. You deserve to have an investment advisor who will help make you smart. You deserve to have people who will help you understand how the world operates and what it means to your portfolio. So you deserve all of that. You can have all of that. You just need to turtle. So if you go to Slary and put in turtle forth, you'll read one of my articles about turtling in situations where you're overwhelmed. In 1996, I should have just gone to law school because I thought I could settle the whole thing in 2 years, and it took 11. It would have been cheaper to just go to law school. It would have only taken 3 years. I'd have got my law degree, and it could have saved me a huge amount of money. Anyway, but, you know, I sort of got an outward bound law degree, as it were. Just had a conversation with a local, and I commented that the magnolias weren't blooming, and she said, there's something wrong with the rain. According to her, the magnolias have not blossomed properly in the last 2 years, and her roses turned yellow after a rain too. I also noted the wisteria hasn't bloomed yet as well. Typically, it all blooms from early June, August. Here's the thing. I think there's heavy metals and toxicity in the spray, and it's affecting everything. But there's also the EMF radiation, and I think you know, that can have a remarkable impact as well. If you haven't read Invisible Rainbow, it's one of the best books. Oh, great. One of the alarms went off outside. Anyway, Invisible Rainbow is one of the best books, and it talks about when you get this big increase in EMF radiation, all the things that can go wrong. But my guess is we're dealing with toxicity in the spray, and it's causing something, you know, basically poisoning in the rain. I just watched some of the testimony from a great thing that Dane Whittington and a group did at Mount Shasta with some guy talking about how much aluminum there was coming down into Mount Shasta. It was really frightening. And that's why our interview with Chris Exley was great. So he had great ideas on how to get the aluminum out. If you haven't had a 24-hour heavy metals urine test, I strongly recommend it. You really want to track heavy metals toxicity. There's a lot of things you can do to detox heavy metals, and you want to be doing them, but it starts with getting a baseline test. I've asked Jennifer Walters on the Health Series to do something on testing. Hi, Catherine. Do you know if there are any members of the Slary community that are employment lawyers in Canada? I don't, but not offhand, but let me ask everybody. If you know of anybody in the Slary Network or anybody in the Slary Network has used, let me know. I'll also see if I can ask around. Okay, somebody wrote about the Convention of States and that state process of asking for an amendment was not necessarily a constitutional convention. And yes, I appreciate that. You sent a link and I'll take a look at it, but I'm adamant. Both processes can be used to open up the Constitution. I know you think it can't, but it can. Because these guys are lawless, and they have mind control technology. You know, it's unbelievably dangerous. Now, here's the reality. All we need to do to fix our problems is to enforce the current Constitution. But if you're not going to enforce the current Constitution, you don't need to change it. Because if you're not enforcing what you have now, adding things that you won't enforce won't help anything. It won't change anything. That's what you have to understand. We don't need more amendments. We need to enforce what we got. That's the problem. And they always say, oh, let's make more things up, because that's how they trick you. Okay, so, you know, you and I are just going to have to disagree on this one, because you're assuming that everybody's going to respect the process, and I know they're not, because I know, you know, I know how my old pals work. Anyway, but I appreciate the link, and thank you for that. Okay, whole bunch of recommended links, one on sort of HARP and asking if that can affect mind control. I believe it probably can, but I don't have a lot of knowledge. Nick Begich is the guy who really understands HARP the best. What can we do to protect ourselves? Spend as much time as nature. I posted the link to Lucent Technologies Grip on Your Mind, a wonderful piece that Corey Lynn wrote for us in the Take Action wrap-up. Use wired cable to access the internet. Don't use Wi-Fi. Leave your phone off. Put it in a Faraday bag. There's a lot you can do to reduce EMF. And if you haven't listened to the EMF solutions we did last week, I recommend that. So, and you know, spend as much time in nature around the trees as you can. So get out into the woods. Somebody sent in a link from Dr. Robert Malone. Malone basically doesn't pass the quality control filter at Solari, so I just don't post his stuff. And that's just FYI. And everyone always asks for lots of detail about why that is. And I just, you know, I just don't go there. That one's not going to pass the control filter. Quality control filter. Hi, Catherine. I'm writing a share link to a new green source of energy, Brilliant Light Power. As of June 2022, the company has demonstrated actual devices in both Boston and Washington this year and plans to commercialize the technology in 2023. Actually, I've done a very deep dive on Brilliant Light Power because they were doing a private placement, a private financing round. And I have a longtime colleague who's a very longtime investor and is a big fan of the company. Went through the private placement pretty carefully, and I hope they succeed. You know, the real question is, will politics let them succeed this time? And who knows? Anyway, but I appreciate your publishing that. And, you know, there's a lot that can happen in the breakthrough energy area that could completely, whatever our, you know, our short-term economic problems are, it could pull the rabbit out of the hat. And frankly, I hope it doesn't, because I hate to pull the rabbit out of the hat if the whole point is to just keep tyranny rolling along singing a song. Then a great piece on Putin's speech at St. Petersburg and sort of what the Russians are up to. Looks like the BRICS are going to go back to putting their independent currency, you know, five big commodity producers putting an independent BRICS currency up, and that's going to be a real shot across the bow. There's no doubt about it. Dear Catherine, I believe that I've located a new deputy director of ARPA, Men's Steroids and Anthropology. I think that's his PhD thesis, but you say the link no longer works. Do we know anybody who might be able to track it down? I don't know, but I'm putting it in here, so if you have an idea, let us know. A song from Children's Health Defense on Hands Off Our Children. It's unbelievable. Mark Crispin Miller is calling the new FDA approval to give COVID injections to kids from 6 months to 5 years, Operation Herod. And it's very appropriate. Because if you look at the new piece from Alex Berenson, you know, Berenson's just covered a study which indicates men are being sterilized. Significant percentages. I think it was 22. Looks to me like it's going to be about 20 to 30% if that study is representative. And I don't know that it is because it's only one study. But if you look at the Pfizer documents that have come out that Naomi Wolf has covered, and then Barnes just did as litigating with the Pfizer whistleblower. And I just posted a 2-minute video that'll be in top videos in the wrap up that we publish next month, starting in the first week of July. Pfizer took the position in court, it's unbelievable, that all of their fraudulent behavior was okay because the government was aware of it. So as long as the government was the co-conspirator and fraud and criminal activity, it's okie dokie. It's unbelievable. I mean, talk about a legal inversion. It's just unbelievable. Okay, some suggestion on what can remove blood clots, more on monkeypox. Another, more information about things that Biden is doing in the schools. And I, you know, you're just going to have to, all public schools, you're just going to have to leave them. You just cannot put your kids in government schools anymore. It's frightening. A post on the problems with the Louisiana, the New Orleans smart city effort. It's the last paragraph says the council's investigation is still ongoing, as is a separate investigation from the New Orleans Office of Inspector General, which seized computers and electronics from several administration officials last month. Ooh, looks like a big New Orleans fight. Those are some of the worst. Then link to The Need to Grow, which is a documentary I've been meaning to watch, but I haven't seen it yet. There is a link on the cattle deaths explained. I put in the link to Farrell's description of what NASA claimed on the cattle in Kansas. Very interesting. We talked about it in Money Markets this week. A piece from Lou Rockwell, very bad news. 49 governors, every governor except for DeSantis, pre-ordered Pfizer vaccines for kids under 5. I wonder if it, I don't know if it was Pfizer or Moderna or both. That's just, I can't believe. that my governor would spend money on killing kids and sterilizing kids. It's frightening. Take a look at this compelling 6-minute video. This is Paul Thomas from Oregon comparing the vaccinated to the unvaccinated. Excellent presentation. And then one from Steve Kirsch about the Pfizer admits to fraud in court, that where you can find the Barnes video. So that's it for questions as of June 20th. Ladies and gentlemen, so don't worry if there is a conspiracy. If you're not in one, you definitely need to start one. Oh, what a world. Anyway, it's a pleasure to work for you instead of my old colleagues. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, good night and good luck.